ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। प्री वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फिफ्थ चैप्टर 26 द हेलिश प्लैनेट्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 2 ऑनवर्ड्स। ऋषिर्वाच त्रिगुणत्वात् कर्तु श्रद्धया कर्म गतय पृथक विधा सर्व एव सर्वस्य तारतम्येन भवन्ति। व्हाट टू वर्ड मीनिंग ऋषि वाच ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। द ग्रेट सेज सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड माय डियर किंग In this material world, there are three kinds of activities. Those in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Because all people are influenced by the three modes of material nature, the results of their activities are also divided into three. One who acts in the mode of goodness is religious and happy. One who acts in passion achieves mixed misery and happiness, and one who acts under the influence of ignorance is always unhappy and lives like an animal. Because of the varying degrees to which the living entities are influenced by the different modes of nature, their destinations are also of different varieties. Text 3. Translation: Just as by executing various pious activities, one achieves different positions in heavenly life, by acting impiously, one achieves different positions in the hellish life. Those who are activated by the material mode of ignorance engage in impious activities. And according to the extent of their ignorance, they are placed in different grades of hellish life. If one acts in the mode of ignorance because of madness, his resulting misery is least severe. One who acts impiously but knows the distinction between pious and impious activities is placed in a hell of intermediate severity. And for one who acts impiously and ignorantly because of atheism, the resultant hellish life is the worst. Because of ignorance, every living entity has been carried by various desires into thousands of different hellish planets since time immemorial. I shall try to describe them as far as possible. Text 4. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, My dear Lord, are the hellish regions outside the universe, within the covering of the universe, or in different places on this planet? Text 5. The great sage Sukadeva Goswami answered, All the hellish planets are situated in the intermediate space between the three worlds and the Garbhodak ocean. They lie on the southern side of the universe beneath Bhumandala and slightly above the water of Garbhodak ocean. Pitralok is also located in this region between the Garbhodak ocean and the lower planetary system. All the residents of Pitraloka, headed by Agni Swat, meditate in great samadhi on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always wish their families well. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As previously explained, below our planetary system are seven lower planetary systems, the lowest of which is called as Patala Lok. Beneath Patala Lok are other planets known as Naraka Lok or the hellish planets. At the bottom of the universe lies the Garbhodak ocean. Therefore, the hellish planets lie between Patala Lok and Garbhodak ocean. Text 6. Translation. The king of the Pitas is Yamraj, the very powerful son of the sun god. He resides in Pitralok with his personal assistants, and while abiding by the rules and regulations set down by the Supreme Lord, has his agents, the Yamadutas, bring all the sinful men to him immediately upon their death. After bringing them within his jurisdiction, he properly judges them according to their specific sinful activities and sends them to one of the many hellish planets for suitable punishments. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Yamaraj is not a fictitious or mythological character. He has his own abode, Pitralok, of which he is the king. Agnostics may not believe in hell, but Sukadeva Goswami affirms the existence of Naraka planets, which lie between the Garbhodak ocean and the Patala Lok. Yamaraj is appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to see that human beings do not violate his rules and regulations. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.17, Karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gati. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One should understand the nature of karma, vikarma, and akarma, and one must act accordingly. This is the law of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned souls who have come to this material world for sense gratification are allowed to enjoy their senses under certain regulative principles. If they violate these regulations, they are judged and punished by Yamaraj. He brings them to the hellish planets and properly chastises them to bring them back to Krishna consciousness. By the influence of Maya, however, the conditioned souls remain infatuated with the mode of ignorance. Thus, in spite of repeated punishment by Yamaraj, they do not come to their senses, but continue to live within their material condition, committing sinful activities again and again. Translation of the last verse once again. The king of the Pitas is Yamaraj, the very powerful son of the sun god. He resides in Pitralok with his personal assistants, and while abiding by the rules and regulations set down by the Supreme Lord, has his agents, the Yamadutas, bring all the sinful men to him immediately upon their death. After bringing them within his jurisdiction, he properly judges them according to their specific sinful activities and sends them to one of the many hellish planets for suitable punishments. Hare Krishna. I was reading from folio one conversation Prabhupada had with his disciples. The topic of discussion was that when devotees go out for preaching, why do many people do not become devotees? So the devotees were discussing with Prabhupada that the many arguments which a materialistic person might give to not become devotee is that people say that I will surrender only when Krishna wants me to surrender. That means when Krishna comes and tells me to surrender, then I will surrender. Or someone might say that I am doing certain thing in my life because Krishna wants me to do it. It is Krishna who wills, therefore I am doing it. So in this way, there are various reasons why a person might not take up devotional service. Srila Prabhupada very firmly asserted that actually as far as surrender is concerned, Krishna has already willed 5,000 years ago in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. So Krishna already wants that everyone should surrender to him. But we see foolish people, they wait that Krishna should come personally in their dream and tell them that you should surrender. Actually, if you see, even if Krishna comes personally in front of us, we will not able to recognize Krishna. You know the famous story, well-known story, that how a person was drowning in a flood and everyone was vacating the whole village and he was told, come, come, come soon, otherwise you will drown. And he said, God will come and protect me. So then later the water level was rising. It came to his knees. A boat came. And some villagers on the boat said, come, join us and you'll be saved. And he said, no, I'll wait till God comes. God will personally protect me. I am his devotee. The water level rose more. It came to his neck. And then a helicopter came. And they threw a rope. Come, join us. He said, no, I'm waiting for God to come. And the destiny had him die. He was drowned. Some other he went to God and he asked God that why didn't you came and come and protect me? Why didn't you save me? And God told him, I came 3 times to protect you. Those villagers, I sent them to protect you initially. But he said, I will wait for God. And the boatman, that also I sent myself. And even the helicopter was sent by me. So we can see that even if God wills, because people don't want to surrender, people never take the ardent task of surrendering to Krishna. Prabhupada said, people say that whatever I am doing, because Krishna wants, so I am doing. Generally in Hindi it is said, Bhagwan ke ichha ke bina patta nahi hinta. Without Krishna's desire, not even a leaf can move. So Prabhupada said that everything we do good, we say we have done it. But anything done bad in our life or anything difficult which we could not accomplish, then Krishna is responsible. He did not make us do that. So that is foolishness of a conditioned soul. So when a devotee was hearing this conversation, Achyutananda Swami that time, he narrated a story that how everyone wants to take credit himself and blame God for what he did wrong. He told a story that how one time one cow was eating grass in a field. So the owner of the field came and he started beating the cow. And the result was the cow died. Immediately Yamaraj came there. Today's verse is about Yamaraj. So Yamaraj came there. So Yamaraj told that because you have killed a cow, I am going to punish you. And this fellow said, no, I have not killed the cow. It is everything happening in my life is by Krishna's will. So if I have killed the cow, it is Krishna who has given intelligence to me, and therefore I have killed the cow. But Yamaraj was very intelligent. He waited for some time, made friendship with him, and then later asked him, oh, you have such a wonderful house. Who purchased this house? And the fellow said, I did it. So Yamaraj later asked him, whose children are this? Who trained them nicely? And he said, I did it. Yamaraj said, this land is so nice. Who purchased this land? He said, I did it. And this grass, they are so green. Who cultivated them? And he said, I did it. And what about that cow who ate the grass and he was killed? Who killed him? I did it. And Yamaraj caught him. So in this way, we see that people blame, like these people here, for God for all of their bad reasons. Anything difficult not accomplish, it is Krishna who doesn't want me. So people have many questions regarding like this, like why God created evil, or I'm a good man, why should bad things happen in my life? Or they may ask questions that why should there be hell? Why God should create hell? Well, it's foolishness on a conditioned soul's part, because when we ask this question that why God created hell, we never make a daring and ask that why God created heaven, or why God gave me a good job, or why God is giving me happiness in life. But when bad things happen, then why God did this thing to me? So this is a foolish argument on part of conditioned soul. But even if someone has a question that why God created hell, our Shastras have answered for that also. And we find that here in Srila Prabhupada in the purport is answering that question. Prabhupada is saying in the purport that Yamaraj is appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to see that human beings do not violate his rules and regulations. So we can compare this whole world to be like a prison cell. And we can also compare Yamaraj to be like the jailer who's taking care of the prison cell. So all the prisoners, they are having the term of punishment, undergoing that term. And as a jailer works and rules the jail based on the laws of government, similarly Yamaraj is also ruling based on the laws of God. And just like a prisoner, if he follows the laws of the jail properly, in due course of time, he'll be released. He'll be a liberated person from the jail. Similarly, if one follows the laws and codes of Shastra, then one will be released from the cycle of birth and death. But if one doesn't follow, then from whatever position he is in the prison, he will be further thrown into much more deeper punishments, much more severe punishments. So Yamaraj takes care of those prisoners who are not following the laws and codes of Lord in this world. And it throws them into further hellish conditions of life. So in this way, hell is a place created by God, Lord Krishna, for those people who have violated his rules and regulations so that can be rectified. Just like jail is not a good place to visit, even hell is not a good place to visit. But somehow devotees are very merciful, compassionate. They even go to jails to preach. We know devotees from our community. They go for prison preaching. And they have even made an attempt to purify the people in jail. And we also heard that Sridhar Maharaj had gone in jail once. And then he was doing his Mansik Mangalarti there. And the police officer at that time was so much impressed. Later he became very much favorable to Krishna consciousness. He became a life member and he became a good friend of Sridhar Maharaj. So devotees follow in the footsteps of Lord Krishna, because Lord Krishna also one time had gone to hell for taking Sandipani Muni's son back to life, getting him from Yamaraj's abode. And we see that when Krishna went, it is mentioned that all the cooking, burning, tormenting of all those residents, of those people who were suffering in hell was stopped and they were all liberated. So in this way, hell is also a horrible place. Garuda Purana describes what is a hell and who stays in the hell. It is mentioned, I was reading the book of Sotra Prabhu, and he was mentioning that when a soul leaves the body, his good and evil deeds, karma, transport him to Yamaraj for judgment. And then he mentions what one sees at the time after death. That is described in Garuda Purana, 2nd canto, 5th chapter. It is mentioned, when he reaches the Yama's abode, he beholds Yama, Yamaraj. And Yamaraj is fierce. His eyes are red. His body is black as soot. His jaws are ferocious. He severely frowns, and Yama's willing slaves are hundreds of personified diseases, ugly with frightening features. Yamaraj holds a rod of iron and a noose. As he decides, the departed soul attains a good or evil state. Thus, Yamaraj rules Naraka, the region of hell, where evil doers are punished. And what is seen at hell? Daily in Naraka, sinners are cooked, burnt, torn, broken, pounded, immersed, boiled, heated, and blasted by winds. A day in hell is equal to 100 years of mortal life. And who are these unfortunates? They are those who have wasted the precious human form of life in pursuit of selfish interest. It is mentioned, who goes to hell? A man who has 100 silver pieces, but yet he craves for 1,000. A man who has 1,000 yearns for 100,000. And a man who has 100,000 wishes that he should rule a kingdom. And a man who rules a kingdom, he wants to become an emperor. An emperor wants to become a demigod. And if he gets that, he then wants to rule over all the demigods. Even upon getting that, his thirst for power is not satiated. A person afflicted by such selfish cravings falls into hell. That means one who is not satisfied with whatever he has craves all the more for material things. Is very selfish. He is sent to hell. And who do not go to hell? One who regularly serves Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. One who has cleared the dirt from his heart and enjoys supreme peace and liberation from material attachment, he becomes satisfied. And because he is satisfied, he does not go to hell. So we can see, so this is a description of hell given about a person who goes to hell. One who is not satisfied, one who always craves for material desires, he is an eligible candidate for receiving the mercy of Yamaraj. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada also gives a quote of Bhagavad Gita, that Karmona Api Bodhavyam. Prabhupada mentions that the intricacies of action and reaction are very difficult to understand. If someone is getting some reaction, he cannot figure out what is the combination of his different actions which has resulted into a reaction. So therefore, Krishna says that don't go into intricacies of this. Just try to know what is karma, vikarma and akarma and try to follow that. So we can see it's so difficult to understand the intricacies of all these activities. And yet Yamaraj is able to figure out all these things and give actual proper punishment. Why? Because Yamaraj, his intelligence is empowered by Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada narrates somewhere that Yamaraj is actually omniscient. He not only resides in the abode, Pitralok, but he also resides in the heart of a person like Paramatma, Prabhupada says. And therefore he can see the past, he can mentally absorb the past, and then based on the current action, he can predict what in the future this soul will do. Srila Prabhupada said this, one devotee questioned, that how can Yamaraj do like that? How can he be like Krishna, who can see everyone's past, present and future? And Prabhupada said, what's so difficult? Today astrologers, they can predict past and future. And Yamaraj is not an ordinary person. Yamaraj is specifically in charge of the department who can see past, present and future. And plus he is one of the 12 Mahajans. So there should not be any difficulty for Yamaraj to do that work. In fact, Prabhupada mentions that by the grace of super soul, Yamaraj is able to do it. Yamaraj can see what Krishna can see. In fact, Prabhupada used the word there, that Yamaraj, he is following Lord Krishna. That means Prabhupada said that Krishna as super soul decides a decision and then guides. And Yamaraj follows Krishna's will and he implements a decision. So in this way, Lord Yamaraj is a very wonderful and dear devotee of Lord Krishna. So we described the hellish condition of life, we described the Garuda Puran. But yet we find that people are not enough afraid of death. Why? Because it is mentioned that, in fact we see in this material world that people have fantasies, making novels and movies on this aspect of overcoming death. We know that there are so many people who have made movies where a person is approached death and then is postponed his death and enjoyed life. Once His Holiness Adinath Maharaj was giving a lecture and he mentioned that how a popular TV serial came up in America where the whole theme was that a person was about to die and doctor said only 1 year more. And this fellow thought that 1 year remaining, let me enjoy. And the whole TV serial was what he enjoyed for the 1 year. And Maharaj mentioned that the TV serial became so popular that after 1 year, the director decided to extend the life so that they can get more viewers. But we find that this does not happen in real life. One devotee wrote an article in BTG, the most things people are scared of. And the devotee mentions that how he went to a library and saw a book called as hit list. And then in that list there were different kinds of items, different list of items. And one was 14 worst human fears. So he went through the whole list. And he was surprised that this survey, they were conducted on 3,000 Americans, where they were asked, what are your fears in life? You can name more than one. And the top fear everyone had was public speaking. 41% people said that we fear speaking in public. 32% said we fear of heights. 22% said we fear of insects, bugs, bed bugs, financial problems, deep waters. And 19% said, we fear sickness and death. So you are thinking that why death is not most fear? Because Shastra says it's the most fearful thing. And here the statistics show that people are the fourth item to fear, people fear is death. So with this question, he went to a devotee and he asked that this, the statistics today do not correlate with the Shastra. And the devotee said, actually it correlates with our philosophy. And they narrated the story of Yamraj as Yaksha. He is questioning Maharaj Yudhishthira. What is the most amazing thing in this world? And Yudhishthira Maharaj saying, said that, Ahani Ahani Bhutani Gachanti Yamarayam. He says that the most amazing thing is that everyone is watching, that people around them are dying. But yet, everyone is confidently thinking that I will never die. So therefore it correlates, because in this world people do not fear death because they do not think of death. And because they don't think of death, what happens? The other fears creep up. Public speaking, sickness, heights, insects and bugs. Why? Because the most fearful thing, death, doesn't fear them. And this devotee mentioned other types of fears can be adjusted, accommodated, avoided. But the fear of death cannot be avoided. Everyone has to face it. Srila Prabhupada says there is no exception for a person who is dying. Prabhupada always narrates this funny story about a man who wanted to save himself from Yamraj. So he thought that Yamraj is a devotee of Krishna, so he will not come in front of me if I smear all my body with stool. So he smeared all of his body with stool and thought that Yamraj will not come. But Yamraj was very intelligent. He came with a hog. So hog did his job and Yamraj then did his job. So there is no exception for death. Prabhupada also says that even one's wife and husband cannot save. Prabhupada mentions there is an exception, Satyavan and Savitri. But after that, no one. Only Krishna can save, Prabhupada said. So therefore, the worst of fears is death. All have to undergo. So as devotees, we can also learn a lesson that we also, as devotional practitioners, we also have so many fears, little fears of performing well and doing this, doing that, so many tensions and worries. But if you know that the most worst fear is death, then with that fear of death, all these little fears will not remain. Every day we remember that if today I might die, then all these petty problems will not be there. Why? Because life is temporary. It may end at any time. Therefore, some devotees said that, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, every day should feel that today is the last day. Today I will die. Take shelter of the holy name. So in this way, a devotee takes shelter of Krishna and thus evades death. So this fear is very much predominant. So how to overcome the fear of death? Like both Govindpur and Gaurangpur is explaining that soon after this chapter is over, Parikshit Maharaj inquires from Sukadeva Goswami that how do people who are staying in hell, how they will be relieved? And then we see that how Sukadeva Goswami narrates. First he gives the understanding that by performing a devotional service to Krishna, specifically chanting of the holy name, one can avoid death. One can avoid the fearful conditions of hellish life. And then he narrates the example, the explanation of Ajamil. So in the Ajamil section, Yamraj, who is creating fear in everyone, he himself confirms what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken to Parikshit Maharaj. He says that, I am Dharmaraj, he tells to Yamadutas, after they have been confused by the whole act of Vishnudutas delivering Ajamil. So they ask that, we thought you are the controller. But how is that this, if the fellows came, Vishnudutas, and they took control of the person who was supposed to come to hell? So Yamraj said that, I am Dharmaraj, but the whole rules and regulations of Dharma was enunciated by the Supreme Lord Krishna himself. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. So we can see that Krishna is the only one who is eligible, qualified. He is the one who makes Dharma and everyone else follows Dharma. Therefore, Krishna is sometimes called as Dharma Setu. Only he can make bridge over the ocean of birth and death. Teshamaham Samudharta Mrityu Samsara Sagarat. He is a swift deliverer of devotees from the ocean of birth and death. Swift, Nachirat. Very fast he delivers his devotees. So we can see Lord is very expert in making impossible bridges. Lord Ram made an impossible bridge over the ocean. And here Lord is making an impossible bridge over the ocean of birth and death. So no one can compare with Lord. They might make big and beautiful bridges in the West and in India. But no one can compare with Lord when he makes bridges. He makes bridges where he takes everyone across the ocean of birth and death away from fear. So yeah, so we can see Yamra does not speculate here. Yamraj is very meticulously and sincerely, submissively following Lord Krishna's rule. There is no speculation involved. In the age of Kali Yuga, speculation is wide and rampant. Srila Prabhupada was once discussing with one gentleman about the various descriptions of Kali Yuga. And one such description Srila Prabhupada quoted that how in Kali Yuga there will be shortage of grains, shortage of rains, shortage of milk, and shortage of so many things. People will kill each other and eat. The government will levy taxes. Srila Prabhupada was mentioning all these things, and the gentleman became very much enlightened. And he said, yes, yes, we can see today people are eating each other. And he gave various quotations of people eating each other. And he mentioned that how people are speculating today, that how we can be happy, we can be peaceful. Srila Prabhupada said, milk means cow's milk. But how many of people are drinking cow's milk? They are speculating. They are promoting other milks, not promoting cow's milk. So this gentleman said, yes, they promote camel's milk, she camel. And they say that if someone is very short, if he wants to grow tall, then in winter they should drink camel's milk. And then this fellow said that they also promote she-ass milk. And this fellow said that the she-ass milk is good for those who have smallpox. That means Devi. And he said there is a connection. Sitala Devi, she is riding on she-ass. So the animals and demigods, they correlate. So any problem with the Devi, then the animal is there to give the milk. So the Devi's chicken, a smallpox can be relieved by drinking she-ass of an... And drinking the milk of a she-ass. So Prabhupada very jokingly asked, what about Ganeshji? Is Ganeshji also, is his animal also gives some milk? Or Prabhupada joked that maybe you eat rat, then you'll become successful. So this gentleman said, maybe the scientists will make research and try to suck some milk out of rat, and they'll drink that. And Prabhupada said, what about buffalo milk? Prabhupada said, maybe one who drinks buffalo milk, he'll go to Yamaraj. Because buffalo is the agent of Yamaraj. And Prabhupada laughed. Or maybe it's vice versa. They maybe drink, then Yamaraj will not touch you. So there is a speculation going on in this world about what to do and what not to do. They don't follow the codes of God. What is to be done or not. But Yamaraj, very meticulously, submissively, follows what Krishna has given. And Yamaraj says in later verses that one who follows dharma, he easily goes back to Godhead. And he says, the process begins of following dharma by chanting of the holy names of Krishna. By chanting of the holy names of Krishna, one can start the process and reach back home, back to Godhead. Yamaraj confirms. And Yamaraj said, the whole incident of Ajamil is a proof that how holy name can save one. I was hearing one lecture which was given at Benapul in the Bangladesh Yatra. And the discussion was that how Haridas Thakur, he was tested by Maya Devi in form of a prostitute. But he could overcome that test because he had taste for the holy name. So discussion ensued that we all will be tested by Maya one day or other. And therefore the only hope is the taste for the holy name. But then the taste for the holy name is so difficult, it is not yet achieved. So the discussion continued. And a topic came that if you wants the taste for the holy name, then Bhagavatam says, Shushushaya Shraddha Dhanasya Vasudeva Kathasuya Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevayat. If one wants to achieve taste for the holy name, one should serve the great devotees of the Lord. That means If one renders service to devotees, it leads to the taste for the holy name. And therefore it was mentioned that in the same lecture that therefore when serving devotees, it should not be external. It should be from the heart. There should be mood of attitude of service. So there is a correlation. Service leads to holy name, taste for the holy name. So here Yamaraj mentions by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one can evade and one can actually go back to Godhead. So Yamaraj tells, he warns his Yamadutas, never approach a devotee. Do not even go near him because he is always protected by the club of Lord Krishna. In fact, even Lord Brahma, me, and the time factor cannot touch a devotee. Yamaraj mentions that even if a devotee has made mistakes, committed sinful activities, don't go near him. Why? Because somehow he is kept chanting Hare Krishna. So he is not supposed to be taken to hell. And then he mentions whom to bring. Bring all those people who never take the honey of holy name. Taste the honey of holy name. Whose hearts never remember Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Whose head has never bowed even once to Lord Krishna. And who never perform the duties for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So bring only them. So we can see here, this is the heart of Yamaraj. So we will be creeped with fear of death. But if you also know that Yamaraj is also a good devotee of the Lord. So with that understanding, we might feel that there is some hope. Because devotees are very compassionate, very considerate. So Yamaraj is also very considerate. He has a heart of a devotee. In fact, even though he is in Pitraloka, amidst all those conditions, many times in Shastra it is seen that, wow, Yamaraj is trying to preach so that people don't come to him. There are various instances of Yamaraj preaching. There is an instance in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Hiranyakashipu is preaching to his mother and sister-in-law. And then he quotes Yamaraj's story there, that how once there was a king who was killed on the battlefield and all the queens came and they all were lamenting on the dead body of the king. They were not allowing the dead body to be cremated. So Yamaraj saw that the king has died in the battlefield. If the body is not cremated, his soul will not get a good destination. So Yamaraj, being very much compassionate to both the queens and the dead king, Yamaraj came there personally as a small child. And when he came as a small child, he started preaching philosophy. So Prabhupada mentions that when a child speaks philosophy, everyone attentively hears. So Yamaraj spoke the philosophy, convinced them that how death is going to come to everyone, one cannot avoid it. And in this way, convincing them, they were able to cremate the dead king's body. We also know that how Krishna one time arranged in Yamaraj's own life to be cursed by a sage. I don't remember the sage's name. Mandavya Muni, Mandavya Rishi. He was cursed. So externally it looked like Yamaraj made a mistake. Yamaraj never makes a mistake because he's always dictated by Lord Krishna. So how can Yamaraj make a mistake? Well, Yamaraj did not make a mistake. It was personally done so by the Lord. So that Yamaraj gets a break. And Yamaraj can come down. He came down as Vidura. And then we see that how he got a preaching opportunity where he could travel everywhere, hear Bhagavatam, preach to Dhritarashtra. In fact, Vidura's explanation is given that Vidura, when he delivered Dhritarashtra, when Dhritarashtra got liberated, Vidura at the time of his death in Prabhas, he was not happy. Why? Because he was feeling that I did not send Dhritarashtra to the spiritual world. He just got liberated. When Vidura left his body, all the demigods came to escort Vidura, who was now Yamaraj, and they took him back to his abode. So in this way, Yamaraj is always ecstatic and happy to preach. He is also ecstatic and happy when a person becomes a devotee. There's a powerful incident in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where we see that how Yamaraj was ecstatic when the two great sinners, Jagai and Madhai, they became devotees of Lord Krishna. We don't have much time, little 2-3 minutes we can speak about the incident. Chaitanya Bhagavat mentions that the sins of Jagai and Madhai were uncountable. So much sins that even the very agents of Yamaraj, they were finding difficult. They actually given up writing those sins. It was beyond their, as Radhanath Maharaj spoke in that one lecture, that they were having overtimes, shifts, and they were stressed. They could not cope up. And they were all frustrated. Even Yamaraj was feeling, what kind of sins? So many sins. And all those sins in one moment, by mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they got relieved of. So Yamaraj saw that Jagai Mata had become devotees, pure devotees of Krishna. He called Chitragupta and asked, how much are their sins? And Chitragupta said, there is no use of asking such a question, because even we don't have track of that. And all of their sins in one moment were totally destroyed by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Yamaraj heard that, he could not fathom how it can be possible. When he heard that really they will become pure devotees of Krishna, he became ecstatic. He could not control himself. It is mentioned he started dancing. He jumped, he fell down, unconscious. All the attendants of Yamaraj, Chitragupta and Yamdutas, they were trying to bring Yamaraj back to external consciousness, but they could not. Seeing Yamaraj ecstatic, all the demigods came and they also became happy, excited. Lord Shiva began dancing. And everyone started dancing because Yamaraj was in ecstasy. So we can see that Yamaraj is also waiting, even though he is taking an ardent task of punishing everyone as a devotee heart. But he wants to see that all people become devotees and get cared for. I remember Gaurampur was mentioning when we were made, when I was given temple commandership, he was telling me that temple commander role or management role is like Yamaraj role. But when you're following Yamaraj, you should also have the heart of Yamaraj. That means we may be strict in dealing with devotees, but then we should also have a heart of a devotee like Yamaraj, always wishing well for devotees. So in this way, we find here Yamaraj, Lord Yamaraj, doing a powerful, wonderful service, a very difficult one, as a devotee of Lord Krishna, and successfully executing that service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. You mentioned about people who, let's say, maybe chant just once, or someone who eats prasad or even bows down to the deity once. Now, just technically, does that person actually not go to hell, or he may go to hell, or he may not?
In the Shastras, sometimes some concession is given to attract people. So you take prasad once, chant Hare Krishna once, and the whole feeling comes that by doing once, we can relieve ourselves. But if someone has that mentality of chanting once and then does sinful activities, what will happen is, behind the mind, there is always Krishna will give that signs, you know, that I am not doing good, it's not good. So one cannot cheat Yamaraj just by chanting Hare Krishna and avoid being going to hell. So there are concessions given in the Shastras where a person is encouraged. But person should know, if by once chanting Hare Krishna, if you can avoid so many fears, what about chanting Hare Krishna daily? So there's a sales promotion for a person. So he can overcome the mentality of leading a material life and sense enjoyment life and take up Krishna consciousness. But nonetheless, devotional service is very powerful. It is not just a hoax. It can act also. If a person has really, from his heart, chanted that one mantra, Hare Krishna, or taken prasadam as this is prasad of Krishna, it will act. Like Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in this Ajamil incident, what happened was, Prabhupada said, that Hari Shauri Prabhu mentions in the Transcendental Diary, Volume 2, that the Prabhupada in one conversation gave an amazing intersight into the Ajamil episode. He mentioned that it's not that Ajamil chanted Narayan's name and he got delivered. He mentions that Ajamil chanted Narayan's name for his child. And Prabhupada mentions Acharya say, when he chanted the Narayan's name, he himself thought that what my son can do for me. And because he had previous years of practice of Krishna consciousness, where he worshipped Lord Narayan, he thought maybe Lord Narayan can help. Because he chanted Narayan's name, which was his child's name, he overcame all his sinful reactions and therefore he could concentrate on Lord Narayan and he chanted Lord Narayan and therefore he got delivered. So there was amazing insight which Srila Prabhupada gave, which is based on comments of acharyas. So person should actually do it from heart also. It's not a lip service. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.